It says, "The behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him." Now, certain, some passages will say his friends. I would think it would be friends. It would be very easy back in that day. If you were paralyzed, you didn't have anything. They didn't have government programs to, you know, to pay you money each month and everything else like that. If you couldn't work, you couldn't eat. If you didn't have a family to take care of you, you were out of luck. And so you'll find a lot of these sick people and hurting people were out begging at the temple. They went to where the good church people are because the church people are supposed to help them. All right? And instead, these guys, these friends of this man, they said, "You know what? He's been laying out there on the bed. Forget begging anymore. We know a guy that can fix him. We know a guy that can do something way better than giving him the money that he needs." They were moved by compassion for their friend. Let's take him to Jesus. And we need to have that attitude of compassion. It's very easy to look around, and I catch myself even doing it sometimes, to where we get caught up in the skepticism of the world. We look at those and we say, well, if they weren't doing drugs, they wouldn't be on the street. If they just get a job, they wouldn't have to beg for food. If they would just, and we reason for them. We think these things. Instead, we should be moved with compassion of going, wow. You know, and we have a problem in the Gainesville area. I just drove into town, and it feels weird to say I just drove into town, but I drove into town yesterday, you know, the big city of Gainesville. You know, but driving into town and you could see the people. And there was a woman standing out, you know, pregnant, you know, needs food. You know, unfortunately, I've seen her before. She's been pregnant for a year and a half now. All right. So, but it's kind of sad. But I'm moved with the idea that, you know what, this person, for whatever reason, feels the need. This is the way their life has to go. And there are those that are truly, truly there. And the difference is I don't know these people's heart. Do you? God does. There's hurting folks all around. There are people suffering. There's a Matthew West song, and Matthew he writes some very real, very, you know, down to earth lyrics, and he said in the part of the song, and this is going to be a paraphrase. He talks about watching the news and seeing all this was going on. He said, "I shook my fist at heaven and said, 'God, why don't you do something?' God said, 'I did. I created you.'" Ooh. That one hurt a little. See, God has given us, our attitude needs to be one of compassion for the hurting. And as a church, we need to have that. We need to have that compassion, that desire to see. And this is not just talking about homeless people. There are people that are hurting beyond. You know, we've got soldiers that are coming back now that post-traumatic stress disorder is, and I couldn't say the initials, but post-traumatic stress disorder is higher than it's ever been. We have more soldiers that are coming back maimed, just missing limbs and things like that, than since the Civil War. You know, and there are these that are coming back. Then there's those that have broken marriages. There's those that have lost loved ones. There are those that are financially hurting. We need to have compassion for the hurting. Number two, we need to have an attitude of action. Like I said, it could have been real easy for these guys just to go, he's taken care of. He's doing all right begging money. I'll keep giving him a couple of dollars. But not only did they have compassion on him, they did something about it. And when you work with youth, one of the things you tend to learn to do is you learn to distract them with multiple different things. All right, so the use of video illustrations are huge in youth ministry. And I was looking for a video one time, and I found one. It was these two ladies that come out of the restaurant, and they were eating, and they had their little to-go boxes because they couldn't eat their whole salad. It was, you know, so they bring their to-go boxes out, and they set them on top. And this person comes up with their little kid, and they go, "Excuse me, can you spare a couple dollars just so I can get something to eat and feed my child?" And they said, "No, but we'll pray for you." Are prayers good? Yeah. Yeah, it's good to pray for somebody. Is it okay that they didn't actually have money to give to the person? I don't know about y'all, but I never have cash. Can you spare a couple bucks? Do you take credit card? I'll give you $5 right now, but unless you have a machine to swipe it, there's nothing I can do with. And then if they had a machine to swipe it, I'd be a little cautious about giving them my credit card. But whatever. You know, that's just how that works. But at the very least, here's a person, and they were both sitting with boxes of food that they didn't eat. That could have been very easy to at least go, you know, I don't have any money. Take the rest of my meal. See, these guys here were moved with compassion, but they were moved to the point of action. They didn't just say, we'll pray for you, brother. We'll keep lifting you up. They said, we're going to do something. And they brought the man to Jesus. These guys picked up this mat and carried him. Number three, a creative attitude is helpful when faced with obstacles. A creative attitude is helpful when faced with obstacles. And they could not find out how they might bring him in because of the crowd. They went up on the housetop and let him down with it. All right, so get this, all right? I don't know how big the house is. Probably something about the size of what the old worship center here used to be. If you stop at the wall right back here coming forward. And there were just people packed in the house. Jesus is standing kind of in the courtyard of the house. He's holding church. He's preaching, he's teaching, he's talking. And everybody has come to hear him, and they pile in. People are peeking in the door and trying to look in the windows. There are people everywhere. These guys come with the paralyzed friend of theirs, and they get to the door, and they're like, I can't get in. How are we going to get there? Well, excuse me. Skip, you know, and people are like, no, we're watching. We need to get in too. Again, they could have very easily went, oh, well, we tried. Instead, they probably got more creative than anybody trying to get to Jesus. Besides Zacchaeus, I think Zacchaeus was fun too. He climbing up the tree, you know. These guys says, well, let's go up on the roof. Maybe we can get to him from up there. So they take their paralyzed friend. Not only have they brought him to the house, they now carry him up the stairs. Now see, they had no way to meet this. And we as a church, sometimes we're going to run into these situations where we have the desire, we have the drive, we have the commitment to meet a need. We just don't have the ability to do it in the way we think it should be met. Sometimes we have to get creative. Now, I don't know what that means. It depends on the situation. In this case, it meant go to the roof and go through the roof. You know, if this was back in the 70s and, you know, it was disco or funk, we'd say raise the roof, you know. I mean, that's what we would do. But literally raise the roof, R-A-Z-E. And that's what they did. They began tearing off the roof to get their friend to them. I love the image of this. Can you imagine Jesus standing, and just, and I don't imagine me as Jesus, because that's, I couldn't do it. But if I'm standing here preaching one Sunday morning, and then all of a sudden sawdust starts falling from up above my head, one thing's going through my mind, termites. That's probably the first thing I'm thinking of. The second is, what in the world is going on? Well, here's Jesus preaching and teaching and talking, and all of a sudden, stuff is starting to fall from the ceiling near him. People looking around go, what in the world is going on here? I wonder if Jesus just stopped and watched, or did he keep going? Because we know Jesus, he wasn't surprised. All right, so it wasn't like, Jesus, what are y'all doing here? You know what I mean? He knew they were coming. I almost think he was probably a lot like most of us would be as you start to see the real debris start to fall down, where people kind of started backing up from what was happening. Jesus probably stopped and went, all right. And then all of a sudden, the shaft of light comes through. They poked a hole in the roof. They're tearing it open. They're pulling it away. And all of a sudden, this cot, this bed, this blanket comes lowering down from the ceiling. You know, it's like a Cirque du Soleil show or something. You know, here comes this guy, person coming down. Can you imagine being there that moment? I mean, I couldn't imagine sitting here on a Sunday morning and having a hole just rip right open and somebody getting lowered in. One, I think it would be awesome that we were that packed that nobody could get in except through the roof. That would be phenomenal to begin with. But how crazy would that be? And they got creative. Who thinks of doing that? Number four, they had no attitude of fear for personal cost. That wasn't their house. I mean, it doesn't say clearly, but chances are if it was their house, they would have had another way in. Somebody said, excuse me, that's my house, get out of the way. And people would have moved. So I'm pretty sure, you know, just reading, that wasn't their house. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody came and tore a hole in my roof, I'd be like, you're going to pay for that, right? That would make a good farmer's commercial, wouldn't it? Paralytic on a bed. We covered it. You know, I mean, I don't, you know, that's if y'all seen those commercials, right? Now I got the, we are farmers, but anyway. But here it is. I mean, they didn't care. They cared more about getting their friend to Jesus than they did about what it meant for them personally. Do you think people would have made fun of them? What are y'all doing up there? Why are you tearing a hole? It's ridiculous. We don't care. We're getting our friend to Jesus. Don't you know you're going to have to pay to fix that? We don't care. We're getting our friend to Jesus. So many times we get caught up in the cost of what it means to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there is a cost. There's a cost for us financially. And we as a church have multiple options to do this. One, we can give money. We give to the church, we can give to the association, we can give to the Southern Baptist Convention. They have missionaries that go, and I think we should do that. It helps with the global mission of the Baptist churches. You know, all our resources pulled together is way more effective than just what we can do as a single church. But there's a cost to it. We want to be here. We want to meet. We want to have small group or Sunday school. We want to have students and youth and children running around here. There's a cost to it. It may not be a huge cost, but somebody better buy animal cookies and Kool-Aid. Amen. That for the kids' class and the pastor. That you just need that. That's what I grew up on, was animal crackers. You remember, you know, the little box and, you know, and Kool-Aid every Sunday. Oh, the Nilla wafers too. Those were, that was hot. Yeah, you know. Now we've matured. We put them in our pudding now, so it's Nilla. But that's why Pastor can't button his jacket. He talks about food too much and eats it. But there's a cost to doing that. Kids aren't going to just sit here and look at you. Y'all clean up the room. It looks great in there. And the nursery. Thank y'all. But there's going to be things you're going to want to do with the children. There's things you want to do with the youth. Those cost money. Somebody's got to pay. More importantly, though, it costs another resource. It costs time. Somebody's got to be willing to be with these people. We just can't put bed babies in. We got a room for them. We just can't drop them off and leave them in there and come into church. Somebody's got to stay with them. We can't just turn the youth loose. Trust me, you cannot turn the youth loose, okay? We love them, but you just can't do it. Somebody's got to, you know? So there's personal cost that goes with all of this. What's the sacrifice? What are we willing to do? Sometimes we have to tear a hole in the things that we've held sacred for so long. We have to raise the roof of those things that we believe and the way it's always been. It's time for remodel. If you think about it, that's what these guys have done. They gave whoever the homeowner was a brand new skylight. Free of charge. This is before HGTV was cool right here. Remodeling on a budget. And sometimes it takes that. Sometimes it takes us just ripping through. Forgetting about the cost to ourselves. Are we as a church going to always do everything everybody in this room likes? No. And I hope all of us understand that. There are going to be times we do stuff that I don't like or want to do. There's going to be times that we're going to do stuff that y'all probably don't like or want to do. Hopefully the majority does. But that's just the reality of dealing with people. The messages and how we do things get mixed up when you deal with people. Y'all remember that game Telephone, right? Where you get a line of people, you tell somebody something at the beginning, and then by the back of the room is something completely different. That's just how we roll. That's how it is when you bring a bunch of people in. One of the things on the website talks about us being the body of Christ. And I talked about it, and I said, what does that mean? We're all members of the body of Christ. We all can't be noses. If your physical body was nothing but a nose, that would stink. No, I mean, that would just be weird. If you were a nose bouncing down the street, that would be weird. How would you walk? How would you reach? How would you eat? Could you hear? Could you see? No, you need all the things within the body. Now, the body is an amazing thing, and we know that not everybody. Some people lose their sight. Some people lose their hearing. God doesn't adjust things, and that's awesome. But for the most part, our body needs everything it has to work. Just like our church needs everybody here as part of that body to work. There are parts of this body right now that are missing because they haven't come yet. And God knows who they are, and they're going to bring them. There's a few kidneys out there running around somewhere. But we have to have no attitude of fear for personal cost. What are we willing to do? These guys were willing to drag their friend up on the rooftop and rip open a building to get their friend before the feet of Jesus. Sadly, sometimes we don't even want to make a phone call. What are we willing to do? At number five, Jesus honors our attitude of faith. It says in verse 20, he says, when he saw their faith, he said to them, man, your sins are forgiven you.